Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live here on this Monday morning from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. Is always about great service. Joe Rexrode, it's a big week. How are we doing? What's going on?
It is a big week. I hope everybody's safe starting out. Doing fine. We actually got everybody, including the Gus, who's just absolute freaks out about any storm, gathered around the downstairs bathroom for a few minutes last night. But, I mean, it seems like everything's all right for the most part. Hope everybody's okay. Yep. Now it's Arctic outside, and then in a couple days it'll be hot, right?
I believe so. I believe that's the plan.
All right.
Kind of sounds like Tennessee in March.
Yeah. Yeah. So heading to Oklahoma City, and as I just told you guys, we're talking, it is 26 degrees right now in Oklahoma City. It will be 95 degrees in a couple days.
That reminds
70
me.
70 degree difference.
That reminds me of the time, I think I brought this up multiple times, where the Titans opened their season in Denver in like 2020 or whatever it was. And I think like 2 days before they got there, it was like 28 snowing in September.
Yeah.
And then the day they were there, it was like 90.
It's like
super
wow,
hot.
How about
that? That's pretty wild.
It is.
So.
Yeah, so I hope everybody's all right. That was a little scary last night. I mean, that's what, I guess that when you see these temperature changes, usually there's some fronts that have, you know, are tied to them. There's my weather moment for you.
That was good.
Yeah, thanks.
Meteorologist Joe Rexra.
I'm no Greg Bobas
on the program. Ian, how are you doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Groundhog Day style. I like that. Groundhog Day. Can never get enough Groundhog Day movie.
Sure.
But doing good, thanks. Solid weekend. Checking out some brackets. A little bit of hockey. Wrapping up spring break with the fam. Nice weekend. Got outside. So it was good, thanks. Happy Monday, everybody. Stay safe. It is cool out there. So
yes.
Bundle up. Good thing I didn't put away all the winter clothes yet.
I know. I
still got the lined pants and all the good stuff.
I'd just gotten used to, you know, internally. It's like, all right, my body clock, I think, is used to like 75 degrees now. And then I walked out this morning. I was like, well, this sucks. It's like 38. This is awful. What's going on?
Yeah. This is it, though.
I think so.
Right? This is it.
I hope so.
Yeah, that would be very weird if this isn't it.
It would be. It would be. We got a lot going on in the program today. The brackets are out, so obviously we will get heavily into the NCAA tournament today. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us at 7 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee and Vanderbilt and the NCAA tournament coming up. Corey Curtis for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to all that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime throughout the show at 615-737-1025. Joe Vanderbilt taking down Tennessee and then taking down Florida over the weekend to punch their ticket to the SEC championship. Obviously did not go the Commodores' way yesterday. Coach Cal climbing the ladder, cutting down the nets once again at the SEC tournament. So I guess congratulations. Did he call the Hogs? I didn't see. Did he call any Hogs yesterday?
It's so funny that you say that because, yeah, after they won it, you know, everybody's on the floor. And they were up on the little podium, and he did call the Hogs.
They're probably going to win the national championship now. I've been waiting on him to do it for 2 years.
But it was kind of half-assed, but, you know, he kind of started to do it, and then he was just kind of looking around like, yeah, and then he did it a little bit again. It's like, all right, I guess that counts.
Woo. Woo, woo, woo.
Woo, woo, woo. Well, congratulations to Coach Cal for finally calling the Hogs. That's good to know that he did it. But Vanderbilt coming up just short in the SEC tournament final. Joe, what did you make of the run that Mark Byington and company were able to put together this weekend to punch their ticket to the final in the SEC tournament. Before we get into everybody yelling about where they're seated at the bracket coming
yeah.
up in a few minutes.
I'm ready for that too. They had a heck of a weekend, and you know, it's too bad for them that yesterday they just really they missed some shots that you expect them to make. Now they made all the shots against Florida, right? Like especially, you know, their bigs were 7 for 10 from three. Like Todd Golden said, they basically, hey, you got to give something up. You're going to try to make it as tough as possible on those two guards, and the bigs hit shots. But yesterday, you know, Tanner had a tough shooting day. It was a great run. You know, come back against Tennessee and you know, for that rubber match. But then again, that's an eye-opener, what they did to Florida. And I thought it would be a seed helper too. But I think they're the most befuddling seeding of the entire tournament. But regardless – they are, it was a very good run. And I think one of the coolest things about the whole weekend was I was very curious of how Vanderbilt fans would show up. They just haven't really in this tournament made money. Like you wouldn't know that it's a fan base that's, you know, local. It's like, okay, is this a Vandy game or is it a Mississippi State game? I mean, they just haven't really – and look, they also haven't had great teams to cheer. You have right. to remember that too. I mean, yesterday, it was really like a 50-50 building, and it was packed, and it was rocking. And I was that was cool. Like, they actually made an impact on the game. You know, both fan bases were really good. That's what you want in a championship game. And there was no Kentucky, no Tennessee. You're like, is that – you know, what's it going to be like? But – Both sides really did a great job. I thought that was one of the cool things for Vanderbilt. But as for their team, look, man, Tyler Tanner and Duke Miles, when they get cooking, I mean, they are something else. There were some moments yesterday with Duke Miles getting steals and behind the back finishing, and then you got Darius Acuff doing just ridiculous stuff for Arkansas. I mean, I'm not sure he's not the best player in the entire sport. He's unbelievable. That was fun. Too bad for Vanderbilt to not finish it off, but I think they kind of, you know, served notice a little bit, just like Arkansas did. But you know, guard play—it's a cliche, but it's true. I mean, guard play is huge. Florida last year won it all. They had all these bigs then. Why'd they win it all? Because Walter Clayton Jr. dragged them to a championship, and I think Vanderbilt has a chance to really do some damage here.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like you said, they are the fifth seed, which generated a lot of reaction yesterday. They're going to take on McNeese in the 5-12 matchup to begin things. But, you know, the conversation of – really, you brought this up with the piece you talked about at The Athletic of we don't really know, you know, where the seeding lists or where it stands with the committee heading into all this.
Right.
But they, you know, they get a win against Florida. They punched their ticket to the SEC title game, and you lose against Arkansas, but I think a lot of people figured that that'd be good enough to get them to the four line, and it did not. They end up at number five. So what do you make of that, and what do you make of that decision by the committee, which, again, we don't know where they had them before all this. So as that point continues to be drug up, there's a lot of conversation that I saw. A couple of Vanderbilt fans texted me yesterday that are good buddies of mine were pissed about this.
Well, and the weird thing is, you know, I've been following this stuff for a long time. It used to be a lot less predictable and a lot more all over the place. And, you know, like RPI was the main thing. And it's just like it was way harder to predict. I mean, most of the stuff yesterday was exactly what I thought it would be. Like, so it all made sense. You go down the list of the team sheets and it's like, yeah, that okay, they're seated right.
But you are the nation's leading bracketologist, so keep that in mind.
Well, look, I don't want to be, you know, cocky, but I got every team right, so I'm just saying. You know, I don't know who else got every team right. I think Lenard.
Yep, yet another shameless plug.
That's
from
right.
Joe Rexroad.
Thank you. I took Auburn out at the end. I'm like, they're not going to put Auburn in. And I was right. But anyway, and that was probably the right call, by the way. Yeah, so you go through all the sheets, and it's like, yeah, okay, the Big Ten. You know, everybody talks about, do the Sunday games matter? They 100% mattered yesterday because Purdue beat Michigan. So that win over Michigan is a huge change. That's where you change your resume, by getting a win like that. You beat one of the best teams in the country on a neutral floor. Well, guess what? They went from 11-8. They replaced Michigan State on the two line. Michigan State bumps back to a three. That's what should happen. Vanderbilt beating Florida, I mean, that should be, to me, that made – four, the worst case scenario, and I thought put them. I thought if they beat Arkansas, they could get a three, but I thought certainly they were a safe four. I mean, they're number nine in wins above bubble, number nine in the KPI, number 12 in KenPom, number 10 at Torvik. Like, these are three seed numbers, and they got a five. Now, there's another thing to remember about this is when with these brackets, and I don't know that this is necessarily the case, but there's always a one seed up or down wiggle room to make the bracket fit. Now that is, and so teams get screwed sometimes by that. And it's like, wait a minute, there's no way that's a six. Like, and then, if you were in the room, it's like, well, it just doesn't work in this region because of a rematch here, blah, blah, blah. So there need to be a six. That does happen. But yeah, like they were seeded, like a four would have been fine. I think losing to Arkansas, I expected a four. So like we're talking about one seed line. When it comes down to it, I don't hate their draw. Because, yes, they're a five, and I think it's lame that they're putting Florida's region, so then they're looking at, if they do get to the second weekend, playing Florida again. Yep. It just, it's like, maybe, I guess if I'm them, I probably still would pick that over Duke, Arizona, or Michigan. But it's kind of lame. I don't hate their draw with Nebraska as the four. Nebraska's a hell of a story this year, and obviously they're looking for their first NCAA win coming up here this week, but that's a draw that Vanderbilt could beat Nebraska without question, and the Sweet 16 of course would be a big deal for Vanderbilt.
We are off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. The bracket is out. We will break it all down, the path for Vanderbilt, the path for Tennessee. Take a look at the bracket as a whole. Your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Our phone number. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. It is Reaction Monday. Brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. The bracket is out. Vanderbilt, a five seed in the NCAA tournament. The Vols, a six seed. So, Joe, we were discussing Vanderbilt. Let's talk about their path for a minute. You brought it up. So, Vanderbilt going to be taking on McNeese.
Which is dangerous.
Which is dangerous in the 5-12 matchup in Oklahoma City. So, Rexford will be live there and in person. Watching it all play out.
I didn't think I was going to get Vanderbilt to Tennessee. And I'm like, well, Vanderbilt got screwed. So, all right, come on, Vanderbilt. Come on out to Oklahoma City. It'll
right
be 95
in front of,
degrees.
Joe Rex Road. I'm sure there's a nice steakhouse in Oklahoma City that Rex Road can find.
I'm sure Gentry and I will we will find our way there.
I'm sure you will. But the 5-12 matchup, you mentioned Nebraska as the four seed would be likely the next opponent if Vanderbilt beats McNeese. But overall, what do you make of the path here? You've gotten the five seed, which people are mad about. What do you make of the path now that we know that's what it's going to be for Vanderbilt?
Yeah, well, again, McNeese, that's a program that, of course, Will Wade went down there and immediately got it rolling.
Be monitoring your communications if you're Mark Byington.
Yeah, that's right. And Will Wade, who apparently, LSU is – totally planning on, they're trying to, go stealing away from NC State. I have no idea. It's just bizarre. But McNeese, you were talking about the number. So they are the number two in the nation steal percentage. Turnover rate for their opponents is number one. So they're going to be all over the place trying. Let's see, their tempo isn't as high as you would think there, but they're a scrambling, try to create turnovers defense type of thing, so it's one of those things where if that works for them, they could really cause trouble. If Vanderbilt takes care of the ball, doesn't get sloppy with it, they're gonna get great shots. This is not unlike some of these teams that you see around the 12. This is actually they're 299th in three-point percentage. So, cause sometimes I look at these, the lower seed. Do we have a big time 3-point shooting threat that can often play the equalizer? But they're not great there. They are a very good rebounding team, which is interesting. Now, again, in that league, how does that translate to Vanderbilt? Vanderbilt just played. I mean, Vanderbilt back to back played Tennessee and Florida, two of the best rebounding teams, and they hung in there. They have some limitations inside, but they hung in there. Look, it's anything. Certainly, we know the 12-5 history. The 12-5 history is what it is. It happens. But, I would pick them in that. We'll see if Nebraska. I mean, it's really interesting with Nebraska because, there's going to be. I know that, I'm out there and it's going to be a huge focal point is, can they get the first NCAA win in the history of the program? And Troy is not bad. Like, Troy is a dangerous team too. So that's going to be really interesting. If they get it, then it's also like the reaction to them beating Troy, for the most part, a 4-seed being a 13, it's like, great, whatever. It's the first NCAA win in program history. Is that an advantage to Vanderbilt because everybody's going gaga that the Huskers won it? You know, I don't know. Obviously, I know Fred Hoiberg will try to mute that. But if they get Nebraska, I mean, you're talking about, you know, Nebraska is a great defensive team. They want to slow things down. They will do a better job against Vanderbilt than, you know, than a lot of teams have been able to do. I mean, you're talking about number 7 in adjusted defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. They're not an overly talented team. They got bigs who can step out and shoot it. Rink Mast, you know. I mean, it would be a very good game, but certainly a game. If Vanderbilt plays the way they did this weekend in Bridgestone, a game they can win.
On the Tennessee front, part of Vanderbilt's path this weekend was taking down Tennessee, winning the rubber match, and the Vols out on Friday. So Tennessee ends up with a 6th seed, which I believe is the lowest they've had under Rick Barnes.
It is the lowest they've had under Rick Barnes.
You got Tennessee as a 6. They're going to take on the winner of SMU and Miami of Ohio in one of the first 4 games coming up. So we'll see which one that is, whether that's Miami of Ohio or SMU. If they win that game, the likely opponent is going to be the 3-seed Virginia after that. So obviously it's going to be a tough path here for Tennessee. What do you make of what the Vols have in front of them as the 6th seed in that bracket?
Well, the committee just really is trying to see if they can get Tennessee and Kentucky to play in the Sweet 16. Although that would be a 6-7, so you'd be talking about a significant upset in there. First of all, SMU Miami of Ohio. That's a really interesting game. I'm glad Miami of Ohio got in. I think that was as big a story as anything yesterday. They should have gotten in. They're 31-1. Also, and they're a great shooting team. And also, like, defensively, they're really bad. Like, it'd be a lot of fun if Miami wins that game and we get Tennessee-Miami. And if so, again, it's just an incredible shooting team and a very bad defensive team. If you tell me right now that SMU just takes care of Miami, I'm not shocked. And SMU, as the committee, as Keith Gill pointed out, and boy, how about the difference between the explanations of, like, the basketball choices by Keith Gill and then whatever the hell they were doing at football this year. I mean, it was like, oh, yeah, that actually makes sense. Thank you. I mean, Bruce Pearl's on TV
Did he cry?
Campaigning for his son. He did not cry. He said he cried every time they heard his name. I'm like, I don't think you cried every single time, Bruce. Is there footage of,
like,
him?
Every time?
Yeah. Is there footage of you with Tennessee? And whether, like, they show the team, yeah, and he's like, like, every time. Come on, Bruce. People, I think I will say this for Bruce Pearl. I mean, it's obvious, like, people are all over him. They know his son coaches all that stuff, and so he made their case. I didn't think he was overboard with it at all. It was fine. Also, awful announcing had this story, like, you know, he's still on the Auburn payroll. And on CBS, which is a fair thing to bring up. But again, Nick Saban is also the same thing, and he's on ESPN.
That's true.
And also, Jay Wright, who, yes, I agree with everybody. Like, it's too bad Jay Wright's not doing it anymore. Jay Wright was also on the Villanova payroll when he did that. Like, that's what happens. These guys get parachute jobs that they remain with the school. Like, but it's Bruce Pearl. So people get mad at Bruce Pearl, and I get it. They got it right, though. The point being, as Keith Gill pointed out, you know, third leading scorer for SMU has been out during this 5-for-6 stretch with his ankle. He's back. So, like, that's a dangerous team. Either way, Tennessee would face a dangerous game, no question. If they get past it, I mean, Tennessee-Virginia, you know, people are in love with Virginia right now. Totally understand that. They played really well in the ACC tournament. They gave Duke a run. Tennessee could absolutely beat Virginia. Could absolutely beat Virginia, get to the Sweet 16. So, look, Tennessee and Vanderbilt both, I mean, it's so obvious, you know, they could go out right away or they could make a run. Tennessee in the Sweet 16 would not surprise me. I think it would surprise me less than it would surprise a lot of people. But you just have to – obviously, Nate Amen has to be great. He has to be.
Yep.
and Gillespie has to be great. And then can you find one other person to just here and there put the ball into the basket? Like they got some guys taking shots. They got some really good, you know, defenders, athletes, good guys. But when they shoot the ball, you're just like, don't shoot the ball. Oh, yep, that's why you shouldn't have shot the ball. There's just too much of that with this team.
By the way, congratulations to TSU, who will be in the tournament. They're taking on Iowa State coming up in St. Louis. So they are the 15th seed. They're taking on the number 2 seed, Iowa State. You know, obviously we'll see what that game goes or how that game looks and what it looks and how it goes for them. But a great season for Tennessee State, as you pointed out last week, and officially a 15 seed taking on the Cyclones up there in St. Louis.
It's an amazing story that they're there. First time since 1994. I mean, TSU's been in it twice, 93, 94. They actually gave Kentucky a decent game one of those years. But it's a great story, Nolan Smith and what he's done. And, you know, watching them, I think that could be a better 15, you know, 215 game than a lot of 215 games. We'll see. But they have skill. They move the ball. They have shooters. And Iowa State's really good, no question about it. They're a little erratic, though, too, you know. And, I mean, they played really well in the Big 12 tournament. But I'm very interested in that game. And I think Tennessee State is going to come out and have a good showing.
Noted Auburn fan on the YouTube chat, K-Dodd, saying that Auburn needs to fire Stephen Pearl.
Fire him right now.
Get him out.
Yeah.
I am interested, like, in the long term here. Very interested to see how that goes.
Well, look, I went down there and did that. Did a story, you know, on him and did like the access thing. And the thing that he said that really stood out to me, and I can't disagree with it. He's like, basically, I got 2 years. Like I had two years to prove that it's not just, you know, daddy's little boy. Oh yeah, you got the job, and he's right. Like, so no, of course he's not going to get fired now. You know, I thought at one point this year, I was like, he's doing a pretty freaking good job considering what they're not overly talented. You know, they're going to be in the tournament. They're going to be like a 7 seed, and then we know what happened down the stretch. They fell apart. So, huge offseason for him. A year from now, the noise could be ugly, but he gets it, too. It's like, you know, this offseason is – and as we know, they've been scouting. They have been out – you know, they've been out front there and trying to help the roster for next year. So you do have that going for you, K-Dodd.
I just hope he got some lodging figured out this weekend. Didn't he say he, like, rented his house out for an Airbnb and he didn't know where to stay because he thinks he's going to be in the tournament or something like that? Hope he finds out where to stay this weekend, said Stephen Pearl.
I miss that.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, you know, house, Airbnb. We're going to be in the tournament. I ain't worried about it. So
yeah.
Apparently not.
All right, well, have a
– find a hotel.
Maybe, yeah, try a holodome.
Yeah.
They got a pool.
There you go. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So we've laid it out for Vanderbilt. We've laid it out for Tennessee in terms of the path here in the NCAA tournament. Let's take your reaction. How far is Vanderbilt going in this? How far is Tennessee going in this? What do you make of the bracket as a whole? 615-737-1025. More thoughts on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Keith, it's the same question every year, but I think a lot of people are trying to figure out what the tournament championship games meant. Arkansas gets a 4, winning the SEC. Vandy at a 5, and they get a tough opening round matchup against McNeese. How did you assess the value of those teams that made it to their championship games?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And so it's full body work. And but the championship games do matter. You know, if you look at the Big Ten championship, essentially Michigan was the number 2 overall seed on our seed list going into that championship. And based on that result, Arizona ended up scrubbing up ahead of them to be the number 2 overall seed. And Michigan ended up being the number 3 overall seed. And then you can look at Purdue as well. So Purdue was on the 3 line kind of going into that championship. And then after that result and we scrubbed, they went from 11 on our overall seed to 8 on our overall seed, which then put them on the 2 line.
That's Keith Gill discussing the seeding that took place. It sure does seem like, I mean, if you're a Vanderbilt fan listening to that, Joe, it's like, okay, so where'd you have Vanderbilt heading into the weekend? Good grief, they're still a 5 after making it to the SEC championship game.
Yeah, it really is. Like I said, man, yesterday as I'm watching this, it's like, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yep. I've never been less ticked off by a bracket than yesterday's bracket. Like, and I think part of it is because they have the process now with these seven metrics. It's pretty clear. It's pretty easy to follow along. An idiot like me can, you know, basically
become the nation's leading bracketologist.
Sure, exactly. But yeah, like anybody could do it. Like you just follow the metric, and, you know, and obviously you talk through the teams or whatever. It's like, okay, remember, like they beat that team when they were had an injured guy. You know, whatever. There's always stuff like that. But it made sense all up and down the bracket. And then Vanderbilt at five just doesn't. I mean, it just really doesn't. The committee, remember, they did – the only thing that we know is the top 16 on February 21st, right? Well, Vanderbilt was a four. So Vanderbilt was a four on February 21st. After that, they won four games over teams that are in this tournament. They got three quad 1A victories from that time to now. Again, including beating Florida. Like how they I thought they'd be a four. So I'm not like I thought if they beat Arkansas and they count the game, then that could be a three. But you know, four is fine. Five is it's just wrong. But I guess if you want to be if you want to look around, okay, you could have been a four. Okay, so fine. So you could have been a four instead of Nebraska. I don't know. Nebraska was going to be a five, so you'd play somebody else's five. You know, Kansas, you might be looking at playing St. John's, which is another – that would be the other five seed that I would be like, yeah, I think they should have been a four to beat UConn. So I guess there's – now I have two complaints. But, okay, so you could be the four playing St. John's. That doesn't sound fun. I like their draw better than that. You could be Arkansas. You know, Arkansas gets a four. I don't know if Calipari's mad about that or what. He's that's all weekend. He's like, you know, conference tournaments suck, as he says every year. But Arkansas, if they win, they're probably looking at Wisconsin. Anybody been watching them lately? I am messing with Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin, they might go out round one. They are – those two guards they have, they could do serious damage. And then – you know, if you're Vanderbilt and you got Alabama's spot in Tampa as a four seed, the five seed there is Texas Tech. Now, obviously, they don't have JT Toppin anymore. They're still a very dangerous team. I think Vanderbilt, although, you know, again, they got seeded too low. I think the draw, and I don't want to disrespect Nebraska, but I think the draw is better than some of the other draws they could have gotten.
That's not going to go over well on Cornhusker Twitter.
Yeah, well, Jeff from Nebraska, a faithful listener and texter. Of course, he's like, well, don't talk about –
so let Nebraska win a game first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's see if they can win their first ever game. So, no, Nebraska's really good. I mean, Nebraska could certainly beat Vanderbilt. They, like I said, they play great defense. But there's no matchup. If you can get out on Peyton Sanford and not let him have wide-open shots – they don't have any real matchup problems for people.
Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we're talking about Vanderbilt. I think you're right. I think they got – when we got scrubbed backwards instead of forwards. I mean, how can Florida lose to us and scrub up and we screw down?
Florida wasn't moving. They were already at one, so they didn't scrub.
No, there was a lot of people that said that when we beat them that they would go back to a number two. But I think the other team that was going to take their place at number one got beat too. So right. I think that's probably why they stayed there.
Yes, that is true.
Still,
yes.
I'm like you. I mean, you know, yeah, we got beat yesterday, and we got beat by a better team. There's no doubt. But, I mean, the last 3 minutes of the game, we kind of threw up some wild shots, and they took advantage of it, and they beat us. Best team won yesterday. I'm not, you know, we did good. We beat Tennessee. We beat Florida. But that right there, those two games and then getting to the SEC championship, it didn't matter more for us to get to the championship like you said it does because we went backwards.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair complaint for Vanderbilt fans looking at the way this all shook out yesterday. But as you laid out, Joe, it may be a blessing looking at the path here. Like, so we'll see. You know, I say that, you know.
They could lose
to McNeese.
Absolutely.
So we'll see what happens. 100%, but, you know, nothing's ever guaranteed in this tournament. But I think at least, you know, we talked about Vanderbilt and Tennessee heading into the tournament. And neither one of them were playing all that great. Well, if you're Vanderbilt, don't you feel like you figured some stuff out this weekend and you're feeling pretty good about yourself heading into the tournament? Like, that would be the way that I would be feeling if I'm Mark Byington and the Doors heading into this.
Yeah. I mean, they were really upset yesterday, and I get it because just – I mean, Vanderbilt has two – you know what's crazy? Arkansas, that was their second SEC tournament championship ever.
Yeah.
They have one in the year 2000. And, of course, it's like Cal's like seventh for him. But, I mean, Vanderbilt has won that tournament in 1951 and 2012. So – it was an opportunity loss, and I think they were really – that hurt them because it would have been pretty cool for them to be able to cut down the nets and celebrate with their fans, who, like I said earlier, I thought showed out really impressively in this game after Byington kind of campaigned, you know, on Saturday, please pack this place up. So that is – it's too bad because they were right there, and they did. They had a couple possessions that weren't great. Trevon Brazil hits that three. I think that – well, he hit two threes late. And if that guy's going to hit threes, I'll put Arkansas in my final four, honestly. I mean, it's – if he's hitting shots, you know, they are extremely dangerous. But, yeah, when it comes down to it, you're exactly right, Robbie. Like, they have figured stuff out. When Duke Miles came back, it didn't look great. They had some Now Miles and Tanner, they look like they looked earlier in the year. And they weren't playing great teams, so there was a little bit of like, are they that good? Well, you know, look at what they just did to Florida. Like, that's when they play their best, they can be electric offensively. And I really love how they battled in that game. And Florida got 10,000 offensive rebounds still. But they battled, and they battled at the rim, and they tried to – and I thought they did that yesterday too. So I'm definitely optimistic about the way they're playing right now.
So the 4-1 seeds are Duke, Arizona, Michigan, and Florida. Duke, the number one overall seed in the tournament. I'm looking at the east part of this bracket.
It's loaded.
It's pretty loaded. Like, you've got Duke as the one, UConn at two, Michigan State at three. I mean, Sparty's going to be fired up to get in that tournament out there. It's a pretty – I mean, even the
– Kansas four, St. John's five.
Even if you're Duke, like, I mean, even like Ohio State, TCU, and the 8-9 is interesting. Like, it's a pretty loaded side of the bracket over there in the east. Like, if you're Duke today, you're like, oh, great, the number one overall seed. Look at where we are right now with all this stuff going on.
Yeah, no, they kind of got screwed. I mean, seriously. Now, granted, you don't have to play everybody. Like, some of these teams are going to beat each other. You know, Michigan State, UConn, if that's a sweet seed, you know, one of them's going to lose. You only have to play one of them. But even, like, for UConn, you know, UCLA, which beat Michigan State and has been talented all year. Like, they are
dangerous seven.
The very dangerous seven. They did get a couple guys banged up, so, and now Mick Cronin's got to have a flight to Philadelphia, so I'm sure he won't say anything about that at all.
Got to go all the way across the country. These kids at the chemistry lab.
But, yeah, it's an insane, like, even like Louisville is a, you know, as a six, I mean, that's a talented team. And by the, you know, they do the seeding, you have to be within six, right, of your top four seeds. And I think one of them was 37, and the East is by far the strongest at 31.
Yeah.
You know, because Michigan State's the top three, and UConn can't be – UConn's not the top two, but they're like the second two. And so, yeah, I mean, that's a crazy region for sure. I mean, I look at Michigan. They got a pretty good path, man. Michigan got a pretty good path to the Final Four. I mean, you know, like Alabama. Could Alabama on a given night hit 15 threes and shock them? I mean, sure. But I don't know that Alabama's even going to be in Chicago. And then we talked about the other side already. You know, Tennessee. I mean, I just need to know who else is stepping up for Tennessee if they're really going to, you know, make a push for something. Iowa State is very good, and that could be a good regional final. Tennessee, I just, you know,
I'll be very surprised if they make it out of the first weekend. That's just me.
Yeah, I won't be shocked by that. But if they, you know, you end up looking at Iowa State, that's a tough one. It, hopefully, you know, they can, you know, for the Vols, for Rick Barnes, they can get to Virginia, and if they put forth their best game, yeah, you know, Virginia might be a little bit overvalued here based on what they just did this weekend.
Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Kenny the Mailman to the program. Kenny, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
good friends. I like numbers, and I've really, really appreciated this season for Vanderbilt. I don't want the fans to overlook the season. They've done something that they've only done like six times in the past 50 years. Do y'all know what that is?
I don't think so.
They're going to wind up with single-digit losses, and that, to me, is a really, really good season. Very rare to beat Tennessee twice in a season. Very rare to win two SEC games. Now, they've got to get this off their ledger. When's the last time they won an NCAA game?
When is the last time they won an NCAA game? My guess is 2012.
20 years.
I was going to say 2012, yeah. Did they not win a game after winning the SEC tournament?
I don't think so. You might want to check that. I think they've just – maybe they've just won one in the past 20 years. So they've got to get that off the record. But it's sort of bad. The NCAA tournament is the fixation of everyone. You need to really enjoy the seasons as it's going. And when you only lose single-digit losses, that's a good, good season.
Yep.
Y'all have a great day.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate the call. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. More reaction to get to on the bracket. We have Gentry Estes from the Tennessean coming up at 7 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Right Time HVAC, Cromwell Media teaming up to bring comfort back to your home. Is your heating system struggling or completely out of commission following the winter storms, or do you need a fix to get you ready for summer? If so, nominate yourself for the Right Time Home Rescue and tell us your story. You can enter today at thegamenashville.com/HVAC, and you can win a new HVAC system installed by Right Time HVAC. Right Time HVAC, locally owned and operated. There's never a wrong time to call Right Time. Taking your thoughts on the NCAA tournament and the bracket, 615-737-1025. Chase from White Bluff says, Nate Ament will have to take over if Tennessee wants a chance. I'm talking 40 ball double doubles. Nate, all he needs 40.
Yeah, 40 and about 14 boards. Cool. Yeah, how about maybe like 6-7 assists? He is a heck of a passer. I was impressed with it. Yeah, he was great. He plays 32 minutes in that first game, and I was like, man. And he's, you know, he's hitting everything. He's dunking. And I'm like, that's pretty amazing. That's a great thing for Tennessee. He had a real tough day against Vanderbilt. Now, granted, Chandler Bing. Let's not give a little shout-out to Chandler Bing. Boy, are people going to have fun with that. I will
say.
They
already started. It's all over TikTok now.
Yeah. I wrote a story about it in The Athletic, in case you didn't see it. I had so much fun writing that story and coming up with friends' references.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
Thank you.
I'm sure he loves it.
No.
I'm sure he's never gotten tired of it.
I'll tell you what. I was a little worried. I was like, oh, this kid's just, this is his whole life, and he's dealt with this crap. And I went in there, and he was really good, man.
They said on the TV broadcast he's never seen the show.
Yeah, he told me he's seen some clips. Yeah, I mean, his bio on the Vanderbilt, the only thing it says for personal on his bio is has never watched Friends.
I hope he never does.
Yeah.
I hope he just kind of leaves it alone.
But he was a very good sport about it, so good for him. And also, most of the people on that team have not watched Friends. I pulled the whole team, except for a walk-on, who is it's his favorite show. He grew up as his mom made him watch as a kid. It's okay. And he's a huge, huge fan of the show.
So they're a bunch of youngins. It's not really surprising.
No, exactly. This is I mean, have you watched any Friends?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you're in your 30s, so you know. But, yeah, and well, that's what Byington said. You know, I was talking to him. Byington's a huge friend, so he's like, these kids don't even watch TV. Like, they don't watch TV. They watch, like, TikTok stuff.
YouTube, yeah.
It's not good for your brain, by the way. Have you guys seen the studies about this? Don't let your kids watch this crap. I totally screwed up as a parent. What were we talking about? Nate Ament.
College basketball.
Yeah, Nate Ament. No, so he had a tough day. He couldn't hit any of those mid-range shots. Again, Bing did a great job of making him take contested mid ranges, which on a lot of days he'll take 10 of those and he'll hit 7 of them. You know, he just had a rough shooting day, and maybe it was a little bit of soreness from being out a little bit, and then you're going back to back days. I mean, no other time of the year do these people play back to back to back days, right?
Yeah.
In the NCAA tournament, you get a day in between. During the year, you play two games a week, so you got to remember that too. It's a totally different level of battering these bodies, which of course is kind of funny when you think about it. It's like do the conference tournaments really matter that much? And yet, this is what you're doing. But anyway, I agree. I think Estrella might be the guy I look at for Tennessee, where it's like, get him the ball some, let him be aggressive, get some inside out shots off of that. The problem is, like, the role players, are any of those guys going to be able to hit? I like Bishop Basel a lot. He's a tough player. He plays good Deion stuff, but you just don't have any confidence when he rises up to shoot a basketball, you know? And obviously, Akpara is a lob rim guy. Estrella is my guy I look at, like, as the third guy for Tennessee to run a little bit of offense through. And I think he can do it. He can step out and shoot a little bit. I think he's a big, big key for them in this tournament to be aggressive and provide some offense.
Tyler says, Joe, it's not good for your brain. What are we talking about? Joe's out here doom scrolling at night.
Have you seen the studies?
Katie is now, it's not TikTok, it's what, Reels? You do that stuff,
yeah,
right? The Reels?
Great. Yeah.
Sometimes we're sitting there watching TV and she's over there like laughing about stuff. And it's like, then the next second, something else. It's like, it's just like a new video every 4 seconds. Like,
they'll fry your brain.
It could be a big problem. I've done a better job recently of trying to put the phone down. I guess getting off Twitter's helped that.
Yeah,
but
for you,
like, it could be a problem. Every now and then, I'll be like, "Wow, I've been sitting here for an hour just watching TikTok or Instagram Reels."
Yeah,
like Kuharsky's face will come up every now and then. There's Kuharsky making videos again. There he is.
That should be terrifying. Get you the heck away from this stuff.
Jared from Spring Hill says, "I didn't mind the computer choosing teams for the BCS. I think computers should do the NCAA tournament." Because there's no way a computer would put all these teams in the East. Humans do dumb things in this scenario.
But see, a computer, Jared, would actually not care about stuff like some of the stuff that we were talking about with them. Like, a lot of the East is the loaded region. There's always one. But a lot of the East, too, is like just like the blue blood element of it, right? Like, it's like because UCLA is in there, Michigan State, UConn, Duke. Like, they've combined for like all – like. Incredible wins, championships, all that stuff. Computer didn't care about that. We don't need a computer to do it. I think the humans did pretty well.
I mean, I think this year is evidence that you should do it.
Well, that's
if you got
true
all
too.
The teams right.
Yeah, that is true. I had the at-larges right. I had Yale winning the Ivy League and Penn. Did you see how that came?
No, I did not.
Holy
didn't catch
crap.
It.
Wow, that was an insane ending.
Yale and Penn?
Fran McCaffrey takes Penn right to the tournament. Matthew Van Jolten said, "My boys in maize and blue going to go all the way."
They're pretty good.
They are. I feel like losing LJ Kason has hurt them. And they didn't look great this weekend. They easily could have lost really to Ohio State and Wisconsin. And then Purdue took it to them yesterday. But they are obviously they have a great chance. I expect them to be in Indy, and then are they going to match up with Arizona? That's a thing. The more and more as I watch these teams, and you hate to like overreact. Like, a lot of times, like, oh, this team won their conference tournament, looked great. I'm picking them to win it. I don't know, man. Arizona is. I think Duke and Michigan. Maybe it's east of the Mississippi bias. Talked about them a lot more this year. Arizona. Might be the team.
All right, so we've talked about Duke, Arizona, and Michigan all year, right? And now I think more recently in the second half of the season, you could probably put Florida in that mix too. Are we getting 4-1 seeds in the Final Four this year? I'm not asking you to fill out your entire bracket in front of me, but are we getting 4-1 seeds in the bracket in the Final Four this year?
No. Now listen, I said this, and Kyle Tucker and others can attest to this. I said this before Vandy beat them. I said, let's remember that Florida a year ago, incredible team. They won this tournament. They looked awesome. It's like they are legit. They had the same front court. Now, some of those guys are better. Chinyelu is better. But do you remember last year the Superman cape that Walter Clayton Jr. had to put on to get them to sniff the Final Four?
Yep.
Their guards are not good enough. I'm sorry. Like, Xavier Lee is hitting shots now. That's good. Boogie Fland is a good player. He makes good decisions. He plays good defense. I don't trust him ever to shoot a basketball. If you don't have guards who are going to hit shots for you, I'm completely fading Florida on getting to the Final Four. And honestly, I'm not sitting here picking Vanderbilt to beat him in the Sweet 16. But if Vanderbilt plays him in the Sweet 16, after what we just saw, you think Vanderbilt can't beat Florida?
They just did, so they absolutely can.
So my answer to you is no, and it's because of Florida. Sorry, Florida fans.
You heard it here first. Rex Road taking Lehigh to take down Florida. We'll have Gentry Estes from the Tennessean coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.